T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Tony, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
He is one of our experts here. He's Anthony Heron. You can follow him on Twitter at Big Ant Heron. Is Mitch good at football?
I like the very generic, very open-ended manner that you begin that with. Yes, I think he's good at football.
Score Bears analyst Patrick Manley. So let me ask you the question. Is Mitch Trubisky good at football?
Yes, but that's not the question that needs to be asked. The question is, can he be great?
Make me a bicycle clown!
Is Mitch Good Week continues on the Lawrence Holmes Show on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
I'm very much looking forward to the supercut that Tony's going to put together of all of our guests this week that we'll run back next week with all of their analysis on Mitchell Trubisky. And guess what? We got two more analysts that are going to help you out in that regard today. Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I'm here with you until 2 o'clock. There is a ton to discuss. Like, is Mitch Trubisky good at football? We're going to talk with Brad Evans about that from Yahoo, a.k.a. Yahoo Noise. Dan Durkin is going to join me, and we're going to discuss. And you know Dan. Dan stays in the film room. So I had him dig deep on Mitchell Trubisky stuff, and we're going to talk about it, and you're going to hear it. The crew. Tony Gill's executive producer of this fine show, a.k.a. Tony Two Bags, a.k.a. Tone, a.k.a. Tony has done it again.
Damn, brother.
That's right, brother. Brother. And Rick Damkamp is also here working on the show today, and we are glad that you are along for the ride. We have a lot to do today, so let's get to it. The show starts like it starts every day with a rundown.
Hey, you know what? Do you have a rundown that I could take a look at just so I know what type of rundown you're looking for?
Just keep it simple.
Keeping it simple. That's what I'm doing.
The Rundown.
There is a lot going on, even in Chicago sports today. A lot of news stories, like not a lot of highlights, but a lot of news stories around the teams. Like, for example, this thing with the Chicago Fire is really, really interesting, where they've basically said, hey, Bridgeview, we're going to cut you a check, and we're going to keep practicing in Bridgeview, but we're going to play our games in the city. So, actually, I'm going to talk with Danny Santaromita about this at 1:25 on the show today, because I think it's a really interesting way to the origin of this story has really been interesting, and the way that it's evolved is super interesting. So that's something that's on the rundown today. How about the White Sox? The White Sox are almost done with their netting that they are putting up that is going to extend all the way to the foul poles, which, quite honestly, I'm so happy that they're doing it, and I hope that other teams see how easily and how quickly this can be done, and they get it done. I talked with a former GM this morning who says that he expects that all 30 teams will get this done by opening day next year, even though it's not a mandate from the commissioner of the sport. I'm glad that the White Sox were at the forefront of this. This is what Ricky Renteria had to say about it.
Obviously, anything that's going to put the fans in a more protective mode is good. I'm sure they'll be relieved to know that something has been put in place to, you know, avoid injury for them. They'll still be able to watch the game cleanly. I mean, those nets don't really obstruct anything. They're able to see everything as well as they have without them. But it gives them maybe a little more sense of security. These guys are hitting the balls. They're coming off the bat at phenomenal velocities. And so, it might give them a little bit more protection.
And the White Sox say that they're going to have a section for autographs, and that will be able to have players interact with fans if that's what they choose to do. So to me, it's all good, and I'm glad that they are doing this. There's also news here on this very radio station today. John Paxson was on The Score with Mully and Haw. It was Tom Thayer, who was sitting in for Haw today. And we pulled a chunk. For those of you that are interested in the Russell Westbrook stuff, and you're trying to figure out a way to get Russell Westbrook onto the Bulls, here's what John Paxson had to say about that.
Everybody pays attention, obviously, to what's going on and, right. and you know, the deals around the league. But I think every team is at kind of a different stage of development and evolution. And, you know, there are teams that are going to take a real shot at someone like that. When you have to factor into everything. I mean, when you look at the financial aspect of a player that's 30 going out 4 years and the amount of money that's going to right. be made, you know, those things can, you know, tie your hands up and kind of put your organization in a tough position. We're looking at things realistically. We understand where we're at. And like I said at the beginning, honestly, I want our group to be competitive. I want our fan base to look out at our team and say, okay, these guys are playing hard. They're showing us that they care and that there's a real chance that as their young guys develop, this is going to be a really good basketball team. The league has changed so much. As contracts, you know, it used to be where you sign a guy to 6-year deals, guaranteed deals, and that limited movement. Now, to the last CBA, they've shortened the deals, and maybe one of the unintended effects is all this player movement that you're seeing now, that, you know, guys moving teams on their own and, you know, coming to free agency sooner. And that, you know, so we're trying to build this thing given our timeline, and our timeline started 2 years ago in terms of a rebuild. I think like I said earlier, when you look at the number of changes we've made in the past 2 years, when you're talking about a 15-man roster, I think they're significant. I think we've upgraded our talent level while staying young.
So that was John Paxson talking about the possibility of bringing in Russell Westbrook. Doesn't sound like to me that's what the Bulls are planning to do. Meanwhile, the Cubs are getting ready to start the second half of the season. They will have a game tomorrow. I will be at Smoke Daddy across the street from Wrigley Field. You can come and hang out while we do the show leading into the game against the Pirates. Here's what Jed Hoyer said this morning about the division race in the National League Central.
You know, I think I'd fall back on what I said before. I think that we're just fortunate to be in first place. I don't sort of take any happiness in that. I think being 4 games over .500 is how I view the team. I think that we're still at that point in the season. You know, that obviously as you get into September and stuff, you look at, you know, you're going to look at, you know, the standings based on game, you know, one game or half a game. But you know, right now, I think that's how I see it. We're very fortunate. We're in first place. We haven't played like a first place team, you know, but that's where we are. And like I said before, the truth is we're very lucky that no one ran away with the division. And that gives us, that puts us in a good position. And obviously that position really matters at the trade deadline. To your point, it does matter as you think about making acquisitions, because you know, every team is going to be more aggressive with a chance to win the division versus a chance to just have a one-game playoff. So it does make a difference. But certainly, you know, the last, you know, 60 games or so haven't felt like a first-place team. You know, on the division part, there's no doubt that I think that Milwaukee and St. Louis both are probably a little bit frustrated with how they played as well. I think they're probably having similar discussions. Both teams had really good stretches, and both teams had really bad stretches. And so I think that's right, that the division hasn't been quite as strong in terms of one loss record. But I will say it's the only division in baseball where everyone's trying to win. And that does make a big difference. There are no games that we have in our division against a rebuilding team. Every division is a team that's coming in trying to beat you. Every team is trying to make the playoffs. And that makes a difference, and that's going to affect the one-loss record at the end of the year with whoever wins our division. So I do think that while it hasn't been the sort of juggernaut division everyone expected, I still feel like it's a lot different than other divisions, and I think that's going to make a difference.
So that was Jed Hoyer talking about the Cubs in the National League Central. You're going to hear more from Jed Hoyer as the show goes on. That is your rundown for Thursday, July 11th, in our Is Mitch Good Week, and guess what? Coming up next, we have a guest who is going to talk about it. This segment is being brought to you by Arlington International Racecourse. They're off and running this weekend at beautiful Arlington International Racecourse. Join them Saturday for Arlington's annual Food Truck Festival with over 20 food trucks and Sunday for Chicago Bears Day with autograph signings and Bears entertainment. Visit arlingtonpark.com for tickets. Is Mitch Trubisky good from a fantasy standpoint? One of our fantasy experts is going to give his answer next here on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With Mitch, you know, I think our entire offense responded in the second half specifically, and I think we're just seeing that growth process of the quarterback we always talk about.
Welcome back in. Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. Obviously, throughout the week, we have been asking the question that is on everyone's mind, which is Mitch Trubisky good at football? I have spared no expense when it comes to bringing experts onto the show to talk to you. We have talked about Mitch from a film standpoint, from a locker room standpoint, with people who cover him every day, with people who broadcast his games. We looked at him from a betting standpoint with Joe Ostrowski. And now we are going to look at him from a fantasy football perspective. Why? Because my next guest is awesome at it. He joins me on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, there are 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from. I know him as Brad Evans. You know him as Yahoo Noise. And he joins me now here on The Score. How are you, sir?
I am splendid. And thanks for the old-style 30-pack payment. I mean, I'll do anything, Mitchell Trubisky, when you throw that in front of me.
Well, that's what we're here to find out. So let me start off with the important question. Is Mitchell Trubisky good at football?
Well, and when it comes to fantasy football, last year he certainly was. Here's how I describe Mitch Trubisky. He's kind of like that Hollywood movie with the six special effects that has a weak plot. There's a lot of a lack of substance underneath the surface. But last season, from a fantasy perspective, he was QB 11. So if you're in a 12-team league, he was a back-end QB 1. And we're talking about a traditional 4 points per passing touchdown, 1 point for every 25 yards passing format. That's the standard Yahoo default. But if you dig a little bit under the surface, there are some glaring flaws in Mitchell Trubisky's game. He really needs to expand his pass route tree this season. You know, Matt Nagy did a brilliant job of conquering his missteps with a lot of short passes. He was very efficient on screens, curls, and, you know, within the 15-yard area out routes, but anything beyond 15 yards on flies, on fades, on seam routes, on posts, he had a 39% success rate, and he was horrendous on third down. And he's not only that, but passes beyond 15 yards, he only had a 69.7 passer rating. So he really needs to make strides in those areas, but because of his rushing ability, even with those misfires downfield, he's a guy that will, again, probably toe that top 14 at a minimum, maybe even top 12 line in fantasy leagues this season.
Do you expect that he will continue to use what I'm calling the leg weapon in the upcoming season?
Oh, most definitely. One of the most effective areas of Trubisky's game is on play action and doing some read option RPO plays. He actually had the sixth best play action completion percentage of any quarterback in the NFL last year. And because of that high success rate in those instances, he's a guy that can pick and choose his battles. So if, you know, the throw's not there or he is unwilling to pull the trigger, he can tuck and run and take advantage. I mean, he's got some spry legs. You know, he's the anti-Tom Brady in that category, you know, a guy that can certainly take advantage of what the defense gives him. So, you know, is he going to get between, you know, 400 and 500 rush yards? I think that would be a sound wager if you're into such vices. And he's a player, too. And here's also the wild card, Lawrence, is, you know, touchdowns are fickle. They're hard to predict, particularly on the ground. But if he can pad that bottom line with another 3 to 5 rushing TDs and kind of be that Dak Prescott of the North, then he's a guy certainly that will penetrate the top 12 when it's all said and done. But, yes, he will be utilizing one of his best assets, and that is his ability to run.
How do you feel from a fantasy perspective? Do you want your quarterbacks running, or do you want the pocket guys that throw for 4,000 yards?
Oh, no, I want the dudes that run. I want scoring duality. I love multidimensional cats. This is why I am head over heels. This is why my pants dissolves in my presence anytime Kyler Murray's name is mentioned. Because the upside is just so alluring, so sexy, so mouthwatering in this air raid scheme in Arizona where people are kind of on the fence. It might work in the NFL. No, hell no, it's not going to work in the NFL. There's too much, you know, speed at the linebacker, safety, and defensive positions. But I think it's going to take at least half of a season for the league to figure it out, defensive coordinators, to make those tweaks to take advantage of whatever the offense may give them. But I think Kyler Murray is going to be special. I don't care about his pint size. I don't care about his smallish hands or any of that jazz. He's a guy that can go out and be very efficient within an intermediate range. You can uncork downfield. I love the weapons around him, particularly Christian Kirk, who I think is going to advance significantly this season. David Johnson, one of the best dual threat weapons for running back position in the league. And not only that, but Murray's going to run for a minimum. This is not outlandish. No, I have not been slamming Casamigos at 7 a.m. this morning with this statement. I think he's going to run for at least 600 yards this season, Lawrence. And I think the defense, too, is going to be so bad in Arizona, especially with Patrick Peterson suspended for the first few games of the regular season, that he's going to be pressed into some high-volume situations. He's going to be a top-five quarterback. I'm on record. I'm doubling. I'm tripling. I'm quadrupling down on it. Kyler Murray's going to be very special. To a lesser extent, guys like Josh Allen. I mentioned Dak Prescott, Lamar Jackson. You know, Trubisky's in that same category of those guys that raise their floors because they can beat their opponents in variable ways.
Brad Evans, a.k.a. Yahoo Noise, is joining me here on The Score. Follow him on Twitter right there at Yahoo Noise. And if you come for the king, you best not miss with your Twitter comments because he is there to lay you out. You were talking about coaching and scheme. I wonder, how long did it take folks last year to jump on the Matt Nagy train as far as a fantasy perspective goes?
I mean, all aboard. I mean, sound the horn, the alarms, the blow the whistle. I mean, Matt Nagy's special. I mean, he's a mad scientist, a laboratory right now. The one thing that the Bears have that they didn't have last year in offense is a dude named David Montgomery. You know how I feel about David Montgomery.
Yep.
It's erotic. It's fantasy porn for me. Just the thoughts of the stats that he's going to post in his rookie campaign. He is so vastly different in what he brings to the table from a skill standpoint compared to the pedestrian now in Philadelphia, Jordan Howard. Jordan Howard had 270 touches in this offense last year. I think Nagy is going to lean heavily on Montgomery. And people are like, well, what about Mike Davis? Mike Davis isn't a threat. Mike Davis is there as insurance in case Montgomery, you know, botches the opportunity or suffers from a major injury, God forbid. And I'm not worried about Cohen either. You know, Tariq Cohen is kind of the James White of this offense, a guy that's going to be fixed in a pass-down role. Montgomery can do everything, man. And he has got such shake-and-bake skills. I mean, last season behind a relatively shoddy Iowa State offensive line, he forced over 100 missed tackles. That first defender miss, he tallied at like a 42% clip. I mean, the guy's got so much shimmy, so much shake. His lateral agility and dexterity and everything else is just off the charts. I think he is a one of a kind. You're seeing some of the videos on Instagram. He's working with a trainer. Just, I mean, he's like a Benihana chef, man, just chopping up everywhere. And he's going to do that to the competition this season. I love him. And I've been grabbing him wherever I can in round four fantasy drafts. He is going to be something very, very special. Very similar, as I mentioned before, on your show to Matt Forte previously.
Well, then what does that mean for Tariq Cohen? I mean, I know that you said that you're not worried, but does that mean that Tariq Cohen becomes more of a pass catcher? And where would he be ranked as far as his value goes for you?
Well, it depends upon your league format. To speak to your first point, first question, I think he will be more of a pass catcher. Could he catch, you know, another 70-plus balls this season? Absolutely. You know, I think Nagy now has enough of the chess pieces that he can move guys around and get very creative with personnel packages. So Montgomery's going to be your traditional back. But Cohen could operate out of the slot. I think he could be this offense's version. I mentioned James White. I think Tyreek Hill, there's some of those tendencies there. You know, Nagy, of course, going back to his roots in Kansas City, they could utilize him in that capacity. A short, lightning-quick receiver, you know, it can just be a blur down the field, you know, working out of the slot, working out of the seam. He could be even, you know, worked outside in motion. I think he could be just all over the place. I think he's got to get, you know, 70, 80 receptions. You're right, though. I think they're going to dial back what he does on the ground. I'd be surprised if he got any more than maybe 3 or 4 carries per game. You know, I mentioned Mike Davis being more of an insurance policy. He'll get worked in a little bit, you know, maybe 5 or 6 times to spell the rookie. But I think Montgomery is still going to be the lead dog in terms of total touches in this offense. But still, you know, if you're in a full-point PPR league and Cohen is sitting there in round 5, round 6, be like a panther and pounce on that, because I think he is a dude that will definitely turn out a handsome ROI, return on investment. I love him.
Do you think that any of the Bears receivers or tight ends, since we're talking about Mitchell Trubisky, have value from a fantasy standpoint this year?
Yeah, you know, obviously Allen Robinson does. You know, he is the top option working outside and kind of that traditional X role. I think he's a person that could see anywhere between 22 to 25% of the overall target share. I think he's a player that could toe the line of 1,000 yards, 70 to 75 receptions, probably 6-7 touchdowns there. I think he is at a minimum a firm, high-end wide receiver 3 for fantasy devices. It's about where he's going in terms of average draft position, right around that wide receiver 25 to wide receiver 27 range. But in the end, I think he's probably going to, you know, be closer to the wide receiver top 20 when it's all said and done. And that just boils down to touchdowns. And I think this Bears offense is going to be high octane. The one concern that you actually have for Allen Robinson is the fact that the Bears defense is so stellar. You know, I think there's going to be a lot of positive game scripts. They're not going to be chasing the scoreboard after halftime in a lot of these games. And as a result, the volume may be depressed a little bit for Robinson. So, and that's good news then for Dave Montgomery, who could, you know, come in and be a ground and pounder and fold away the clock, nursing a lead. So it'll be really interesting to see how things shake out defensively for Chicago, because that will have a direct impact on Allen Robinson. And Trey Burton is a guy who was a disappointment last year, but he was still, believe it or not, a top 10 fantasy tight end because it was such a desolate landscape at that position. I think he'll be a back end TE1 and 12 team or 14 team formats this year. Taylor Gabriel's more just plug and play based on matchup. You know, Riley Ridley the same way as well. But yeah, I mean, Allen Robinson's certainly a guy that has to be rostered in fantasy league and should pay some dividends right away.
So to wrap up your feelings on Trubisky, how do you feel that? Where do you think he's at in his development, and is there a ceiling that you think he can still reach?
Well, I can tell you this, and I know Joe O. Ostrowski was talking about, like, you know, all the money that's being thrown on Trubisky as MVP. I think that's a Looney Tunes. I guess that's his ceiling, would be an MVP caliber season. My personal feeling is he'll never reach that. I think he's just going to be a solid back in top 10 quarterback at his height of his career, and the floor is pretty low. But when you're connected to Nagy, Nagy just can erase a lot of, again, the flaws that are in your game. He proved it last year in his scheming. I think Trubisky needs to get better on third down. I think he needs to get better in his reads and progressions. He was missing some guys wide open last year. That touch isn't quite there yet, but it's a process. You know, he's still a young guy. This is, what, his third year in the league? So, you know, he's going to take progressive steps as he gains that experience. And I can tell you right now, just, you know, take it back to fantasy, Lawrence, he's going at 138.5 overall right now in average draft. That's QB 19 for a guy, again, that can beat you with his legs and his arm. There's a lot of profitability built into that price point. That's why I like him, again, going at that position.
Brad, as always, I appreciate your time and your information. How can people find your stuff?
Oh, I'm all over the interwebs. At Yahoo Noise on Twitter, Team Huevos with an H on Instagram. Or there's some more stuff. I'm rarely on Facebook anymore. And, of course, you can find out, too, the Fantasy Football Hour. It's going to be airing on NBC Sports Chicago starting August 22nd, so we're back for season four. We're also going to be airing nationally across all regional sports networks and nearly 100 million households. We're hoping to have some digital clearances, too, this year. Stay tuned for that information. You can follow me on Twitter, at Yahoo Noise there. And, of course, Fantasy Football Live. I can't believe I'm going to say this, Lawrence. We are back for season, I believe, 14. I've been doing this for 14 years, and I'm on a Cal Ripken Iron Man streak for Fantasy Football Live. I have not missed a show for all the hangovers and sicknesses, snowstorms. You throw it at me, I will find a way to get in front of the damn camera and give you shoddy fantasy advice, and that will be airing on YahooSports.com. Week one of the NFL season every Sunday morning. So definitely tune in for that.
I love Brad Evans, and I think that you should too. Next time you're in Chicago, tequila's on me, sir.
Oh, I'm buying a ticket right now, brother. I'll see you soon.
Buy that ticket. That is Brad Evans, a.k.a. Yahoo Noise. So see, he gave you some thoughts on whether or not Mitch is good and how good he is. We'll take a break. When we come back, the Cubs GM was on the station today. He had some things to say. I would like to discuss them next here on The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm so happy that Brad Evans had the time for us on today's show and that he could talk about Mitchell Trubisky. There's a couple ways that you can consume the show. Obviously, over the air at 670 AM. Or, if you have an HD radio, I highly recommend the HD signal, which is 104.3 HD2. You get to hear the bass in my voice a little bit more prominently on the HD2 signal. And you can check out the radio.com app. That's where you can check out the show podcasts, and the guys are great about getting the show up. So if you missed any portion of it or an interview or anything that the other shows have done, you can catch it there. And you can watch what's going on in the studio at watch670thescore.com or on The Score's Facebook page. If you're watching now, you may see that we have our Chicago Leverage shirts. We've been talking about it, and we have them. So I have one posted up on one of the computers, so you can see what it looks like. We're going to wear them next week, and we're going to give a few away thanks to our friends over at the Bandwagon Champs. And if you haven't checked out their Twitter or Instagram, if you're a lover of Chicago sports, you will find something on that site that you want to sport, whether it's a north side thing or a south side thing, hockey, basketball, or football. They have something for you at Bandwagon Champs. Okay. Baseball is back. Well, one game is back tonight. The Cubs get back tomorrow. We will have the game for you here starting at 12:45 when they take on the Pirates. Jed Hoyer, the Cubs GM, was on The Score this morning. So Tony and I were like, well, how much of this are we going to bring back? What do we think is important from what we bring back? It was a long and lengthy interview. And like I said, you should check out the Mully and Haw show and then listen to the entire thing. But we wanted to scale it down a little bit and kind of talk about what happened in the first half of this season. And so what we came up with is that there was a chunk where Jed was talking about everything, like some of your issues with the Cubs and everything else. So I wanted to share that and then have a small discussion afterwards. This is Jed Hoyer on with Mully and Haw.
It's difficult. There's no perfect way to do it. You know, you try to think about dividing up the season into maybe, 10-game chunks or 20-game chunks so you don't get, too high or too low on individual games. But we all know that can be difficult. And I think that's one of the real skills in this game and one that we know we're never going to master, but we try to get better at it, is realizing that, this is a sport where you the best teams win 6 out of 10 times. This is not football. It's not the NBA. You're not going to dominate your opponents. And so knowing that, trying to figure out what's real, what's a real hot streak, what's a real cold streak, is incredibly difficult. And right now, I think we're at that point. I think that, like I said before, we had a really good streak. We had a really bad streak. And, the good news is that through all that, the second half will define this team. Luckily for us, no one has run away with our division. We could be in the position of a Boston or a Cleveland or an Oakland. They've had good first halves, but the team in first place got really hot. We were fortunate. We didn't have that. And so ultimately what we do over the next 2.5 months is going to define this team. And that's a good position to be in.
How do you feel about second base and the kind of up and down performances you've had from a lot of different guys there? How do you see that position flushing out moving forward?
Yeah, that's been, one of the things I think that's been our hallmark is we've been really balanced around the field. Almost every position every year is, above average. And, this year, second base has just been a frustrating position. I think obviously Zoe, being gone is a part of that. But Descalso has really struggled since the first, 10 days of the season. And that's been, part of it. Ian Happ, has been working on a swing in Iowa. That's been part of it. So, there's no question that's been a position that we've been, cycling guys through, trying to get someone hot, and it hasn't happened yet. And we'll continue to do that because I do feel like what's made us really good is our depth. And right now, this is probably one of the only times I can remember, since we've been good, that we haven't felt that deep. We've got some guys struggling, and we've got some guys, not here. And I do feel like we need to get back to that feeling where you got, 1 through 12 as far as the position players go. You're going to get a good at bat. You're going to get a guy that grinds things out. And you're going to play good defense out of each guy. And I think we need to get back to that place.
We've been talking this morning a bit about something Chris Bryant said. He was talking about Joe Maddon. Let me read you this quote. He said, "I honestly don't think there's anything else he can do. I've seen a big change in him, just how he approaches each and every guy. He's way more involved. He's talkative. He's positive every day. I love him. I love the way he runs the team. He's been doing everything right for us. We have to play better to show that he deserves to be here. A lot of that falls on us. We just haven't performed the way we should. I can think of a handful of ball games that we should have won, and that whole narrative would be much different, but it hasn't been that way, and we hope to change it. Certainly, he's not getting that blame." Is that accurate? Do you agree with what he says there?
Yeah, I think Joe's been incredibly active and engaged this year. There's no question about that. I think he and Chris have always had, a really strong relationship. I think that, that's his, the manager that, walked in his office the first day back when we were in the old clubhouse. And I think they've always had a strong bond. And I think Joe's always been a nice sounding board for him. But yeah, I think, we're all in this together. I think that's the most important takeaway of all of this is that, we're all constantly having discussions about how to improve, how to get out of this rut right now. Whether it's, Theo, Joe, me, our players have been here for a long time. One of the best things about continuity is you can fall back on shared experiences. And so, I know Theo's had a number of conversations with players. I have on the road last time. Being able to talk to those guys about what they're feeling, what they're thinking, how do we get this right? You can't do that with a guy you just brought in this year who hasn't been a part of our success. I think people like Chris and Anthony and a bunch of the guys that have been here for a while, we can have those discussions. And I think that that's really meaningful. So, I think Chris, you know, is taking a lot of responsibility on the players. And I think that's a great thing. And I think it bodes well for the second half.
That was Jed Hoyer on with Mully and Haw this morning. Tom Thayer was sitting in for David, as David is on a little bit of vacation. It's a good time for it, the All-Star break. There's some stuff in there, and there's some stuff that I want to spend a couple minutes talking about. Second base in particular, it has been a suck hole for the Cubs. There, what they've done at second base has not been – and I'm not sure what the answer is. I've been going over this in my mind for the last few days as you look back on the first half for the Cubs. Let me throw the options at you, okay? Option one, which is what they initially decided they were going to start with by going out and getting Daniel Descalso, is Daniel Descalso. But that's been really bad. How bad has it been? I know it's not a perfect apples-to-apples comparison. John Lester has a higher OPS than Daniel Descalso does. Okay? So there's that. So what do you do? Do you put Daniel Descalso out there knowing that he hasn't hit all year? There hasn't been a point where you felt like Daniel Descalso went into a hot streak. Option number two, you play Addison Russell. Addison Russell hasn't really hit either, but he's shown more signs of hitting than Descalso, and there's the defensive component. But aha, if you watch Addison Russell play second base last week, you saw him make two terrible plays out there. And he's supposed to be he's supposed to be good enough to play shortstop for you every day, which means if he's good enough to play shortstop for you every day, he should be able to play anywhere on the diamond, especially second base, and you're supposed to get quality defense out of him. You are not getting quality defense out of him, and his offense is not good enough to warrant him playing. Option number three, the boat guy, David Bodie. Bodie is going to provide a little bit of offense, but is deficient defensively. And what are you trading? My whole thing is if Addison Russell is going to play like he's out to the zoo, then he does you no good, and you're probably better off playing Bodie in that spot than you are playing Russell. It depends on how much faith Joe in the front office has in Addison Russell to not make some of the mistakes that he's made, especially last week. I think that there should be another option. I know Jordan Bastian on MLB.com wrote about how the Cubs should be buyers in this stretch that they're on. And I would tell them that Whit Merrifield makes a lot of sense. I'm not usually someone who targets a player that you should add in and trade for, but he solves a lot of problems for the Cubs. One, the Cubs are a terrible base running team. He steals bases. How do you steal bases? You have to get on base first. He does that. He could also solve your leadoff problem. He plays multiple positions, but can play second base and plays a solid second base. There's another option. Option five, wait for Ben Zobrist to come back. Over the last couple of weeks, the Cubs have been more positive about the opportunity that he might make it back, which begs the question, the version of Ben Zobrist that left wasn't great. And is that going to help you? Is that going to help you overall? Option six, you can play Robel Garcia in that spot, but it's a guy who doesn't have a ton of experience. He made a mistake in the field last week when they had him out there, but he's young, so, or youngish. So are you going to give him an opportunity? There's a lot for them to try and figure out at that spot alone. The other thing that I thought was interesting was Jed talking about Joe. And I don't mean to parse every word that he said, but when he's saying, oh, you know, this year, when it comes to how Joe's reacting with the guys, it makes you kind of go, huh. I wonder if they've seen enough one way or the other? The answer is probably no, because I think they would have, had they been so upset that they wanted Joe gone, I think they would have had their opportunity last week to do it. The Cubs need to start fast. What is working in his favor is that his teams in the second half have always done really well. In his time here with the Cubs, that has been a thing for him. So we shall see. Someone said, well, why isn't Ian Happ an option? Because Ian Happ's not doing great in Iowa. He's still got a lot going on. And that's why they went past him to Garcia. This texter says Whit Merrifield is an outfielder. He plays multiple positions and can play second base. If you think you're going to find the perfect fit where everyone's going to do what you want them to do, and there you're going to get someone who can do all of those things and plays a great second base, you're out of your mind. So, I'm just saying. He plays second base and played 108 games there last year. He's played 36 games there this year. So, there you go. All right, we need to take a break. Is Mitch good at football? We're still continuing this. This time, we are going to take a look from the film perspective.
I think this will probably be my favorite out of all the interviews.
Really?
Because Dan Dirk, he's going to get deep, deep, deep inside the tape for you.
Yeah, he is. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves, your Western Conference champion Chicago Wolves. We'll open the season on Saturday, October 5th. For group and season tickets, visit chicagowolves.com. We're going to look at the film. Dan Durkin's going to give me a breakdown. It's great. I'm telling you. That's next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.